Okay, I'm Leon Bortman from iSystem, and I'm going to present requirements for session recording protocol. Before I start, just one note, we have an IPR statement regarding this from, on behalf of my company. Okay, so first, some use cases. Why actually we need the recording with actually the enterprises, organizations, and especially the customers, people. The main use cases are in this slide. Trading floor compliance, actually recording of traders that they're not doing internal trading, they're not promising some stuff that not supposed to the customers. Actually, they execute orders, like somebody's calling the trading floor, want to buy 100 stock, so they're not buying 1,000. Second, not less important, actually it's even more common, it's contact center quality management. So it's actually to make sure that people receiving good treatment, good service in contact centers, so the agents are polite and they actually handle the customers like they're supposed to be. And especially also for customer analytics, so to see what actually the main topics that customers are complaining or saying about the company, because again, the contact center is actually the main interface between organization and their customers, so there's a lot of information in the actual calls. So if, for example, somebody want to receive free upgrade from the airline company, I can say what specific keywords to say just to make sure to be flagged and be called back for the upgrade. Financial institutes, so especially large banks with thousands of branches and tens of thousands of workers, again, giving some financial service, it's also recorded in order to see they're not doing something they're not supposed to do. Insurance and healthcare. So if somebody calling to his doctor and receiving some medical advice, obviously it will be good if it will be recorded. So if somebody is not providing good advices, there will be some evidence for such treatment. And not less as important, it's emergency service like fire stations and others, and especially, for example, air traffic dispatchers. Also, all these conversations are supposed to be recorded in order to be later to be debriefed and to see what was went wrong. One of the use cases very known, for example, when this plane was landed from JFK airport, all conversation was recorded and later analyzed what happened during the flight. But main point, it's actually the last one, the recording, it's not usually a legal requirement, it's actually a customer requirement. As I said before, it's in order to make sure that customer will receive the best service and the best treatment. Next slide, please. So, why do we need a recording protocol? Actually, this slide is saying about it. First, and it's very important, actual current lack of today of standard protocol to do recording, especially for IP-PBXs, the new IP-PBXs, C-based PBXs, it's one of the major limit factors that limits wide adoption of such IP-PBXs in today's enterprise. For example, I'm personally working on a couple of projects with large banks where they're trying to deploy IPPBXs for 100 people endpoints. And currently, these systems are not leaving their labs because there's still no good recording interfaces to make such deployments. So actually, everybody is waiting for such solution. Today, the number of implementation, existing proprietary implementation, that obviously they're not interoperable. They're very specific for very specific configuration. And one of the main ideas is just to have and migrate multiple existing protocols to one standard and interoperable protocol. Next slide, please. Okay, so now I'm going to just show some specific examples. Again, this is only specific examples. They're not to mean to be some complete classification of different configuration, because there are tens of them. But these are actually the main examples. There's some problem in the drawing, but it's okay. First example, it's actually where recording client, it's actually the entity that will fork media towards recorder, recording system, the green box, and the blue one, it's actually a telephone communication system. Where actually recording is done by this, it says back-to-back user agent, but again, it can be IPPBX, it can be media server, it can be SBC, it can be some mixer, or even gateway. Force media for the recording, and actually the main scope of this work is to define this red arrows that say session recording protocol, and I will explain later what actually means, what are the specific legs of such protocol. Next slide, please. And there's some problem with probably because of the PowerPoint 2007. No problem. Actually, the red line is supposed to be between user agent and the recorder. So this configuration, actually the forking itself, the actual recording interface is implemented by the endpoint. Such endpoint can be fonts, soft client, or TDM to IP gateway, for example, that will do the forking and will implement this protocol. RS, it's recording server, it's actually a receiver of the recorded media, and RC, it's recording client, the entity that will send media for the recording. Next slide, please. Okay, so we are talking about three main legs, three main interfaces for the recording. First one, it's actual recording control. It's actually initiation of the recording. It can be triggered in both directions. So it's from recording client to recording server, where the recording logic or recording decision is done on the PBX level. So it's like some profiles that defined for specific endpoints that's supposed to be recorded. Or from other direction, where recording server will send recording request to recording client, for example, based on some record on demand, where some agent will press some button and will want to record this specific conversation. The second leg, obviously, it's media itself. It's actually media that will be sent from the recording client to recording server for the recording. And the third one, it's we're not covering it yet in the requirement document. It's actually sending call information. So it's call metadata, it's call events for start, stop call, changing in participant, somebody, for example, logged in to his phone or changing his status. This is actually the interface that's supposed to convey this information towards the recording server. So one of the actually items that we spent a lot of time working on this document, why do we think the ZIP is appropriate for such interface, for actually these three legs? The main idea, it's actually, even the idea was raised by one of the customers. It's a recording session, it's supposed to be treated as another media session. So, for example, as I mentioned before, for large deployment, for example, where we have 100,000 endpoints, and if for this specific environment, every call is supposed to be recorded, so we will have actually 200,000 media sessions. So it's actual conversation, but also 100 recording session. Okay. Again, assuming that...
Can we go ahead and pause and see if people want to go ahead and ask their questions now, or you guys want to wait?
Again.
At the mic, we've got four people lined up.
Christer Holmberg. I just have one question. When I look at the use cases that you had on your first slide, my question, I'm not objecting to the use cases, but my question to you is that, or I haven't seen the answer to that, is that why you have a requirement to do this, you know, somewhere else? Because, I mean, I have a SIP phone where I can choose to record a session locally, which I'm currently having, right? And I don't need any protocol for that because my SIP phone just, you know, records it and I can play it later. But obviously you want, when I have my SIP phone here, you want me to be able to record it somewhere in the network, somewhere else, as a centralized service somewhere. So my question is really, what is it that you can't do by just recording it in your SIP phone or in the call center or whoever needs to record it? Why do you need to have a centralized box somewhere else? That or specific box somewhere else which you can control and move your media there and everything. Thank you.
Okay, so it's a good question. So actually a number of reasons. First, somebody need to manage all these recorded sessions. So obviously keeping them on the SIP phone, there's some limit. What is the storage? For how long do you want to keep it? Or even, for example, if you have such access to this recorded media, you can delete it, for example, without any... That any permissions, but most important, again, all this media and such recording system, we are creating terabytes of information per day, so it's supposed to be managed, so it's supposed to be archived and managed in some central location from the management point of view, but also from a real-time analytics point of view. So, for example, if it's actual conversation between this SIP endpoint with the customer, if we want in real-time to do, for example, content analytics and to provide some pop-ups for the agent regarding customer, what to propose him or some information about his previous calls, we need, again, analytics engines, they need to have access to such endpoints. And for usual deployment, actually, it's distributed environments. So these endpoints, they deploy it everywhere. So you don't want to put some another equipment in such locations. So it's much better to do it in centralized way. But it's possible, and obviously there's some implementation like this, but it's usually only for personal recording, not for use cases that I described before.
Right, so I just want to clarify. If you have a clarifying question for what he said already, then let's go ahead and ask it. If you're going to get into the general discussion of why you're doing this and stuff, we can wait. Okay, let him finish. Is that okay? Yeah. So does anybody have a clarifying question here? From what he's, okay, Ronnie.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, you described that there are existing solutions now that are working, and probably most of them are using SIP. So they're probably working and they're using SIP. So why do you come at all with that?
Because first, the number of limitations. Currently, there are no standards. So there are a lot of difference between different deployment. Different vendors and different deployments. Talking vendors is actually telephony vendors. And again, there's still some unopened items. So today we don't have any silver bullet solutions that actually is good for every use case. So the number of open items.
Well, I think he was trying to understand the context of who is it that you're interoperating with, right, in your picture.
Yeah, that's where I've got a question, unless, Ronnie, you're not done yet. Ronnie's done. Eric, okay. Berger. So and I've had lots and lots of people who've begged for this, but the thing that I'd like a clarifying question on in this picture is, can we ever imagine a situation where the session recording protocol would go over the internet as opposed to using IP within an enterprise or, you know, between enterprises, but, you know, over a VPN, that it would actually go over the internet?
First, especially for hosted environments or even for cloud-level telephony, I think yes. So obviously, at least in the work that we are doing, there are no assumptions that it's for specific enterprise or for specific domain. So we do want to make it interoperable and inter-domain and to be able to traverse firewalls, internet, and so the answer is yes.
Okay. Yes, Christo Homer, this is another clarification question. I did ask it on the list a while ago. I apologize if you replied and I didn't see it. One of my questions was whether this was going to be some kind of personal recorder, which means that, okay, I can now record my call for whatever reason, and then I can choose later, you know, play, rewind, whatever, or is this just I'm going to call and my call is going to be recorded somewhere, and then if I for whatever reason at some point will need to get that, then I will have to contact someone in order to get it, but it's not like I can just press play. So
currently, to provide this recording service in the cloud or out there for everybody, it's out of scope, but it's actually very interesting area, especially for peer-to-peer or for Skype calls, for example. So it's currently it's out of scope.
Yeah, the reason I ask is that there are other standard groups which have done that kind of work. So if we choose to move forward with that, but that's going into the mechanism, so I will not, you know.
Okay, so let's go ahead and finish the charts then, and we can get into the mega discussion.
Okay, so why do we think that SIP is appropriate? First, it's recording, it's another media session, so we need to use all this infrastructure or framework that already developed for SIP, join, refer, SIP events framework for reporting metadata information, and we want to use all existing mechanisms, codec negotiation, transport layer negotiation, security mechanism, and firewall traversal. And it's actually one of the requirements of the customers and enterprise. They don't want another protocol. They have SIP infrastructure, proxy and register and everything. So actually, it's also very important to a slide regarding different alternatives that we actually compared and during preparation of this work. So at least it is based also on the comment on the list. The first one is regarding media control, using media control for session recording. So as we see it, again, it is not one instead of the other. They actually are orthogonal and actually complement each other, and I will show in more details on the next. I will show it On the next slide, media control is actually very nice and appropriate protocol for controlling media servers. So if media server will will be recording client, and this is a component that will be inserted into the call and do the forking, obviously media control it's the best candidate for such interface. And but we still need to define some interface between recording server and recording client, and we will show it on the next slide. XCON again, it also provides interfaces and use cases for recording, but it is very limited, again, from our point of view, use case only for conference-based approach, and we need some more generic solution. And we have very unique requirements, as I stated in the document, like also for reporting call events and user status, recording transparency for some environment, especially for contact center quality. Agents, they're not supposed to know. Customers, usually, they know that they recorded because they have this announcement or beep tones, but agents are not supposed to know that they recorded for quality because we need to. They will behave usually. So recording transparency, it's very hard to provide by using conferencing-based approach because usually there's some indications that there's conference in this call. We also need this persistent recording mode where we want to create recording session upon beginning or login and not per each call in order to minimize media clipping. So the time that will take to create recording session. And also we want to keep this logic what and when supposed to be recorded in to support both the use cases, where it's on the recording client and also on the recording server. Okay. And actually, the next slide presents it in more details.
Okay. Ronnie, do you have a specific question here?
Yeah, can you go back one slide? I don't understand the purpose of that, because if we are using, I mean, definitely from what I understand, the phone itself or the endpoint or whatever is not supposed to do anything. It's just the entity in the middle that goes to the recorder. Now, if it's using SIP, I didn't see anything that says what is currently missing in SIP in order to achieve this. So if nothing is missing, I understand this can be a BCP or something, but I don't understand what's, because I didn't see anything in the documentation saying these things are missing. This is what we are talking about in order to achieve this solution. What's the problem?
Okay, so actually, again, it's because this document only talks about requirements, but obviously there's some work that was done also for defining SIP extension. For example, one of the things that we need, again, today we're using the MindBody, but it can be, again, a SIP header parameter, where recording system says to this recording client which actually call we want to record. So what actually, because we're not creating just some new session between recording server, recording client. We are saying recording client that please forecast to specific SIP session, another SIP session. So we are missing, for example, to provide this correlation parameter that will tell recording client which media to fork. This one example, but there's also additional examples.
So that, let's go to the next slide, because the point that you made is relevant to decide what is the solution for that, because you're talking about some control mechanism and not about the call setup or anything which can be used using media control or whatever, and that's what I say is missing in order to understand what you want really to standardize.
Okay.
Okay, and then Theo or Hadriel, you guys have clarification?
Should we address his question, or is this...
Oh, you mean to answer his question?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Hi, Hadriel Kaplan. So just on the SIP layer, for example, one of the requirements is, in fact, that SRP SIP connection identify itself at the SIP layer as being an SRP connection. So if it crosses proxy, it's actually treated differently than a human-to-human type of connection, so to speak. And that's just one of the requirements that would actually require something to be indicated somewhere in the SIP layer, as opposed to just the SDP layer or media layer.
Theo? Yeah.
So Scott Lawrence says, some of the interesting questions in this are authentication issues. Who authorizes whether or not a session is recorded? There are some overlaps between this aspect of the SRP design and the third-party authentication draft. In particular, authorization of the subscription, refer and join operations.
Okay.
So actually, we have a slide. It's in the appendix about all the security requirements. So obviously, for this interface to be valid for any environment, there's supposed to be authentication mechanism. So obviously, a recording server is supposed to be authorized in the recording client by using certificates or some other mechanism for the authorization. So obviously it is not just anybody can contact the endpoint or media server and ask for the recording. So it's one of the requirements of the document. So the protocol is required to, it must handle these requirements.
Okay, so just a warning, your next picture doesn't look happy.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. Actually, the main point here, just ignore just the red line. It's supposed to be between the recording server and the application server.
Actually, one thing, I mean, you can download the slides from the IETF site, so please go ahead, do that.
Yeah. Okay. And the green line, it's supposed to be, it's actually the media itself. It's between media server and the recorder server. What we are actually showing here, or trying to show, to display here. Yeah, thank you. But actually, we're trying to show here that we have three legs, as we described before. So we have the red line, actually recording control between recording server and application server. Again, it's one of the examples where actual recording clients implemented by application server and media server for the conferencing. And on this line, we have call metadata events that application server sent to the recorder and recording controls, actually triggering of the recording between these two.
That's the bottom button, sorry.
Okay.
I think
the battery is dead.
Ran,
okay.
Yeah.
So it's between these two boxes, and then application server, upon request from the recorder server, will it's one of the proposition by using media control will insert this media server into the call between two endpoints, and media server will send RTP traffic via the green line. Recorded media to the recorder server. And obviously, recorder server itself, it's not one box. It's also multiple devices, multiple components. So, actually, this is actually one of the important slides. What is actually our proposal for handling SRTP? So what will happen if original conversation is encrypted? So first and most important bullet, we're not proposing here any mechanism for keys escrowing mechanism. So again, if original call is encrypted, and we're not going to propose that recording client will send original keys to the recorder server. So actually, our current assumption, it actually holds almost for every use case that we're talking about. So if recording client has access to unencrypted media, either its endpoint or back-to-back user agent or conferencing server or mixer, it will create another, again, because we have another SIP session between recording client and recording server, it will create another set of keys and encrypt this media for forking to the recording server, so it will be separate sets of keys. The original keys, they will be not shared with the recording box. And again, we need to do this because another requirement that recorded session also supposed to be encrypted and protected. It can be SRTP, ETLS SRTP, IPsec, or any other future or current encryption methods. And the only use case, if recording client only has access for encrypted media, it will just fork it as is to the recording server. And again, opening of this encrypted media, it will be just another problem that will be deferred for specific implementations.
Okay, Brian, did you have a clarification question?
I think you should finish.
Okay.
You should go, but finish quick.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so we're almost done. Some other topics, currently playback support, again, it's out of scope because the number of different applications and interface how to do it, but again, in the future, we can consider also to define these playback interfaces. There was also on the list a suggestion to use IPfix for conveying call events information. Again, we do not believe that it's a good fit because it's too low level interface and it cannot provide all this state machine for call events and information that we need to receive. And again, all other session protocols, H323 or others, out of scope. Again, by the way, all this session recording, there are no options that it's voice only. It's also for video or other types of media recording.
Okay. So I know of two environments. I think you really need to hone in on your use cases because there are two sets of environments that I know that these things are used in that I understand real well. One of them is where the phone call is answered, your voice may be, your call may be recorded for quality assurance. Those are answered at conference bridges, always. And the recorder's on there, and there may be a supervisor on there, and there may be another agent on there because there's a trainer situation. They answer every call at a bridge, and that's how they do it. The other case I know about is the legal ones, the ones where You record everything always, and nobody knows you're recording it. It's absolutely invisible to you. And those things, no one knows it's there. There is an explicit requirement that it's always there, and no one knows about it. And typically, those things are done pretty much the same way you do legal intercept. They pick them up at some box in the very early part of the call, anchor the media there, split it off, and send it off to the recorder. And I think in both of those cases that we got what we need. We don't need anything else. So I'm looking for a use case where we're not answering it at bridge and we're not doing the legal thing, which is like really explicitly hidden from everybody. And is universal. I mean, everything gets done. And I think all of those cases, all the right data is there. You have all the session information is there. You have the media stuff is there. You do the negotiation the right way. And that's the end of the story. And I'm really having trouble finding a use case that we need more work.
Okay, so first answer, your first use case. So again, if it's current IPPB access, at least that I'm familiar with it, there's some IVR at the beginning of the call. So when the call is arriving, it forward to IVR with this prompt for the recording, and then there's some IVR session to collect what customer actually wants, so some skill-based routing, but then the call is not staying in IVR on conference server. It's transferred to some remote branch or some remote contact center. It is never... So the media will not stay on the original location on the IVR or IVR media server. So obviously, recording consumption that we will record 100,000 calls on this some giant IVR that today only plays announcements. It is not how it's done even today. Mm-hmm. So it's the call never stays in IVR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Yeah.
I think just to Vijay Gurbani. Just to answer Brian's question, the work did not start to surreptitiously record media stream between two users without them knowing. It started precisely for the first case that you gave, Brian, where there's a business case and a reason to record, and the user that calls in knows that they're being recorded. Now, how these things happen, if it's a bridge or something else, you know, I guess needs to be worked out.
Alan Johnson. There are many other use cases that we need to get into the draft, Brian. It's much more complicated than every call is recorded or calls are recorded using some LI-type technique. For example, it's very common for only certain segments of a call to be recorded, and you have to start and stop recording at various times as you do it. Some places have requirements that when one side or the other puts it on hold, you must stop recording and the like. So there's all kinds of call control operations that have to go on. But anyway, I just wanted to say that I support this work and that it needs more use cases. It needs more work on the requirements. They're not all there. They're not all clear yet. And you know, some of the prior work that we did, and I think some of the security things that you've talked about are definitely in the right direction. And some of the previous work we did in this, we conflated too many security issues and key distribution and disclosure and all kinds of things like that distracted people. So I think this is the right approach for moving this forward.
Thank you.
This is Hadriel Kaplan. Just to address Brian's point earlier, you're wrong. They're not all handled by media bridges. I know because we bought a company that sells in the enterprise space and has been doing it on SBCs for a while. And trust me, they don't build a media bridge for a conference bridge model anyway. It may have been done that way in TDM because that was the only way you could have possibly terminated the media and kept it there. But this is SIP, and you didn't have to do it on a conference bridge or a media mixer. So it just doesn't need to be that way. As for CALIA, our requirements don't cover the requirements you need to cover for CALIA. So this is actually not going to be sufficient. If your concern is that, oh, is this just a way to get, you know, lawful intercept into the IETF, this isn't going to satisfy their needs. So it's not.
Don't go anywhere, Hadriel. John Peterson. So to this last point, so then I take it if this were going to be a kind of chartery discussion about this, that the charter requirement that the endpoints explicitly authorize the presence of a recording agent would be acceptable then?
No.
Well, if it's not, then I think it is exactly that. So it is exactly
And I would disagree.
A,
an endpoint, when you say endpoint, you mean a SIP user agent?
Yes, I mean the user
right.
agent clients.
Right, and I would disagree simply because, you know, humans don't actually write out the SIP headers and field parameters when they send SIP messages. They're indicated that they're being recorded through audio, right, through the actual audio quoted in RTP.
Sure.
So the requirement to say that, oh, we have to indicate this in SIP, or somehow they have to, you know, send a SIP message to update and say, yes, I authorize you, is almost a silly topic, right?
I'm not going that far. I think that if a message is played and you have the opportunity to hang up and not participate in this call, that satisfies my requirement.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely. If you wish to put that as a requirement, I don't know how that would be technically, you know, policeable.
That is a manner in which, you know, the endpoints are authorizing the presence of a recorder. That is, I think, the requirement that we
need
to articulate.
Right, but since it's a layer above the protocol, I don't understand how it's documentable or enforceable in any way, shape, or form. It's like asking for an evil bit, right? It's like, okay, if you'd like us to play, you know, the unicorn game, it's like a silly.
The unicorn game
is where, like, it doesn't actually exist in the real world, but we talk about it in our specs. That's a unicorn. My point is that we're talking about something in the audio level. We're not discussing what's encoded inside of the audio, right? I mean, we're talking about RTP or SIP, maybe, but not in 7-Eleven. I mean, is that what you're asking for? You're saying that the document should say
I'm asking for exactly what I said I was asking for, that if there were an explicit requirement in this that the endpoints authorize the presence of a recording agent, that I would be okay with that.
By any means, including a layer above SIP or RTP or anything that's enforceable within
the
protocol.
I think we're talking about requirements, but, I mean, I don't know how to state my requirement other than I just did.
Would we need such a requirement at a layer above?
In some countries, there's such requirements, like union regulations, that if agent he doesn't want to be recorded, he allowed to do it. So it's a valid requirement. Yeah. So again, it's a valid requirement. It can be answered by some indication and again.
So Eric Berger again. I was going to just make an observation that on the one hand, this looks obvious, and there are existence proofs of call recording systems in the wild. I'd also observe that just about every PBX manufacturer in the room here and all the call recording people in the room here are saying, we need this, which is telling me that the people who are actually doing it are saying, we're tired of hacking a call recording system for every flavor of PBX and the PBX having to do interfaces to, you know, three or four different call recording systems. I think that's the real motivation for why this is here. And this is big. You know, if you talk to the enterprise guys in particular, they will tell you, we are not deploying voice over IP, which, by the way, includes SIP, because we can't do this. We have to use this ugly, you know, it's not that we're stupid, it's not that we're being bribed by the manufacturers, it's we can't do it because, you know, as the industry stands today, it doesn't meet the consumer needs.
Ronnie Evan again. So first of all, I heard what Alan Johnson said, and I think that to me what is missing is that I read the draft and it shows two architecture, but this doesn't give enough information for me to translate it to requirement, because I don't understand, in order to understand why you have this requirement and what is missing, the use cases are not there, because I looked at the examples and this doesn't look to me like a call control, but it is a device control request, more like device control, which is different, so the requirement is different there. And as for what now Eric was saying, I think that, I mean, from my experience, I know that there are, and I think Brian also mentioned it, there are deployed solution in enterprise environment. Most of them basically are using three-way conferencing bridge and doing recording and controlling using the regular SIP stuff without any need for anything else in order to do that.
Yeah, but the problem is it does not scale for data centers and consolidation.
So that's why I said there's something missing in order to understand the requirement. Missing some of the use cases and the architecture for which you're looking for a solution.
Okay.
François, so I think Mr. Berger summarized very clearly why this is really important. I really think we need to get started on this. I understand that this is, by the way, the first time where we talk about this in a civilized way at ITF, which is good. I'm really happy that we have new blood here to actually help us on this. and we didn't crucify him. So this is really good.
You want blood in the discussion, sir.
Yeah. So I think we need to get started. I think the list of requirements, some of the material in the slides as well, were quite useful in explaining, you know, why we need this. And I think we should just start, you know, ramping up the requirement. I believe that comments that were made by John Peterson was actually a good comment as well. That should be one of the requirements that we should put in there. Yep. And let's not focus too much on the solution for now. My experience with this, with the different vendors, is that a lot of the solutions are there extremely ugly. So it would be better to have good requirements before we start trying to write the actual solution.
So Scott Lawrence says, in some deployment scenarios, endpoint authorization is not only not needed, it's not relevant. I'm a PBX vendor. We need this. I want a standard interface to recorders and will contribute to this work. And Andy Hutton says, as a company deploying SIP-based solutions to major enterprises, we need a standard-based interface between UAs, RCs, and recording servers. And also as me, I really want to see this work as well.
Thank you.
Ronnie Evan. First of all, I support what François says about the need for the solution. I'm not against, but what I'm saying and what I also heard now gives me some worry because, I mean, first of all, in my experience, if you don't want it to be dependent on the user agent, what you're doing there, because if you depend on the user agent, then most cases it won't work. Because if you want special features for that, so you have to have the right solution and to have the right requirement, the right architecture in order to achieve what you want.
Okay. So thanks everybody for the comments. So I'm going to be taking two hands this time. The first one is going to be if we assume that we add the requirement of, you know, the authorization requirement John was talking about. So, you know, both endpoints are basically notified that this is going to happen. Who would be completely opposed to doing this here? And the second hand will be like, the second hand would be to go on working on the use cases. So I'm going to take one hand, actually. Yeah. So if we assume that we take this requirement, like, you know, both endpoints, they have to be actually notified that this is going to happen. Assuming that we take that requirement, who would be... it's a requirement, right? So who would be completely opposed to doing this?
Go to the microphone, Ronnie.
Yeah, please, Ham. Or wait a second. You want to say something, or?
Ronnie, I'm not sure I understand. I mean, requirement means that you have to have such a mechanism, but it doesn't mean that you need to use it.
Okay, so like, mandatory to implement. Yeah. Well, I think the requirement was more like you really need to use it. Is if I understood the discussion correctly.
Mechanism is supposed to support it, but it's an optional.
I don't want to beat around the bush about this. Everybody knows why I'm suggesting that we add this requirement, right? Because we cannot work on lawful intercept here, or at least we cannot do so without going and fighting a battle with the rest of the ITF or this and seeing where it's going to take us. And I would be on the other side of that battle if we're going to have it. So this is a way to say, let's build into this a requirement that defeats the use of this for lawful interception. Provided we do that, then I think it is okay to do this.
Exactly.
If we don't have that, then I don't think it's okay to do this.
Okay.
I don't think I'd go quite that far. Sorry, Keith Drage. I don't think I'd go quite that far, but I think I would say the solution can incorporate this as a mechanism.
I mean, to be honest, from the discussion, this may not have any influence in the protocol work. It would be more setting the scene when you write the draft and talking about the scope and everything, because we've been talking about basically notifications on the media stream, which basically, you know, we don't need to develop a mechanism for that. So in that sense, I see more like setting the tone of the draft, right, as opposed to basically forcing a mechanism to be there. Hadriel.
So Hadriel Kaplan. So I'm not clear on that because it's not. I mean, if it's something's put in as a requirement, I would think that a solution to it would require, if it's a mandatory requirement, the solution must address and provide a solution to that requirement, right? I mean, Otherwise, sure, add all the requirements you want. If we don't have to actually address them, I'm cool all day. But
I mean,
am I right, John? I mean, basically what you're saying is in order to get this past the ISG or the IAB or whoever, we've got to have an evil bit set somewhere, right? Is what you're worried about type of thing? And does the IP fix working group set evil bits and packets as they monitor them through routers and switches? Because I don't think they do the last time I checked. I could be wrong. Maybe you stole ECN bits or something. But
I mean, if you'd like me to talk about what ITF documents, or I should say RFCs, have been published that I think violate the precepts of Raven, there are quite a few, right?
Yes.
And it's all a matter of how you cast it. But something that is I'm going to duplicate the media of phone calls is a lot more blatant than IP fixes. it's targeting a specific application. It's recording the media associated with it. And, I mean, I think it is a much more direct and obvious violation of those precepts. And so I'm just suggesting that if we'd like to do this, perhaps we should add something to this. And how nominal it is, well, I mean, even if we put in a mechanism, let's say, even if we said, well, actually, there has to be some explicit authorization that is cryptographically certified by the endpoints or whatever, right? Obviously, the people that are interested in that would implement it, and the people who aren't would implement everything but that, right?
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So that you understand.
I personally don't see any problem with such requirements.
I mean, I think we are all on the same page on the HAM, actually. So if somebody has some substantial comment, please go ahead. Otherwise, we take the HAM.
Yeah, you.
Scott Laurent says, would John be happy if there's a mechanism for endpoints to declare that they do not authorize recording?
I'm sorry, Theo, I was having a sidebar. Could you repeat that?
Would you be happy if there were a mechanism for endpoints to declare that they do not authorize recording? From Scott.
Yep.
Lawrence.
I mean, again, provided they can expect their call to fail when they have made that request, and their call cannot succeed unless it is recorded.
So Scott says requires : no record.
Right.
So Colin Jennings here again. The IPFIX did have a substantial problem passing because of exactly the subject raised. And I think that what you need to think about here is John's doing you a big favor in trying to get this work so it'll actually happen. And there is a Raven document. You guys can decide to either get that BCP changed, or you can decide to have a strategy of how you're going to argue you're not in violation of it, right? Because you're not going to get a document past IETF last call. We can charter this all fine right now. You can work on a document for 3 years, and when you're done, and you can go discuss with some other groups that this has happened to, you're going to take it to IETF last call. And if it's about duplicating packets of audio voice calls, people are going to think about Raven, unless you have a good story of why this is not in violation of that, or you get that document changed. You need some story of how you're going to get this passed. I'm quite confident of that.
Okay.
Suggesting that was John's particular. I appreciate that he brought that forward now instead of 3 years from now.
Okay. So let's take the HAM. Assuming that we will add such a requirement and we will have a story for that, who would be completely opposed to work on this here? Please, HAM. Okay, so for a note taker, nobody hammed. Sorry? In the ITF, I mean, to do it. Yeah. Okay, so basically what I have heard is that people wanted more use cases, clarify basically, the requirements, and basically continue working on that. So the feedback for the authors is like, please, gather the feedback, from those on the mic, get more use cases, clarify the things you were told to do, and basically, let's keep the discussions ongoing.
Hey, Drill has one final point.
Yeah, can we get a mailing list just as a procedural?
Yeah, we should be able to get a mailing list, right, Colin? Yeah.
Thank you. Definitely. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we are done with the agenda. And anybody has any other business?